Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Coming up on the show this afternoon, we'll arc up your calls for Wednesday Whinge. I had my car flogged last night while I was doing the weather for Channel 9. I'll tell you that story. Merrick Watts joins us. He did Radio Proud on SAS Australia last night. Really enjoyed our chat with Merrick. We'll get into that. The Aria is on tonight and a Gold Coaster is up for a nomination. We'll find out how he's going to celebrate the night. And our Senior Sergeant Braden Murphy joins us to talk about how prevalent car theft is here on the Gold Coast. You can hear that and a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's The Catch-Up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Because it feels good to let it out. It's the Rush Hour's Wednesday Whinge.
Anything big or small you want to get off your chest, now is the time. 132710 is the number. What do you want to whinge about? Whoever's got the best whinge for us, the most legitimate, you score that $100 voucher. I guess I could whinge about the fact that some jobber stole my car last night, but I'm not going to do that just yet. I'm going to tell that full story coming up straight after Wednesday Whinge. It is such a pain, though. Can I just quickly tell you? It's not even the car. It's everything that's inside the car. I'm not even joking. If I had a choice between getting the car back or getting everything that was inside the car back, I'd take what was inside the car rather than the car itself. And that's not to say I don't love my car or didn't used to love my car. I did, but I just, the stuff inside of it, some of it's irreplaceable. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that yet. I'll talk about that next. Should be a happy day today. They've announced that our borders are reopening to Victoria as well. Round of applause, please. Please. Come on. Where's my round of applause? Come on, mate. What's going on here? Thank you. Did someone steal your applause button after they stole my car? They did. Okay, fair enough. You've got a legitimate excuse. But now they're saying, okay, so our borders are going to reopen to Victoria, which I think is fantastic news, especially considering my little girl is boarding school in Victoria. And this is legitimately going to save me $2,800 in quarantine fees when she comes back. But now there's a trans-Tasman bubble that's going to open up between Australia and New Zealand. Queensland won't be a part of it. Think about this. They're saying the majority of Queenslanders don't want the border trans-Tasman bubble because, you know, we want to keep ourselves COVID-free. But how are we going to do that? If people from New South Wales, Victoria and the rest of Australia can travel to New Zealand and then travel to Queensland anyway, aren't we going to be exposed to what New Zealand have got? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have it both ways. If we're going to open our borders to New South Wales and Victoria, and they're going to be allowed to go to Victoria, to New Zealand, we're going to be exposed to that anyway. We may as well open it or close it, but that makes no sense. It makes as much sense as what's happening at the moment just south of the border where people from New South Wales can go to Byron Bay. We can go to Byron Bay. We can mingle with the people from the exclusion zone, but they're not allowed to come across the border. You can't have it both ways. It makes no sense to me. Anyway, that's my whinge. What's yours? Sharon from Burley's called through. It says here, Sharon, that you're a lollipop lady.
Keep it quiet.
You don't want anyone knowing that. Why? It's a cool thing to be.
I'm at Dan Murphy.
Oh, okay. I would be too. Yeah, okay. What's your whinge, Sharon?
Wednesday. I thought, beauty, I'll get into the bottle shop before Thursday, get to the Dan Murphy's, no bloody parking spot.
Oh, everyone's got the same idea. Can't get a car park at Dan Murphy's. Go find yourself a drive-thru. Go to the Benoa Tavern, mate. When I was a drinker, I'd go through there. Wouldn't even get out of my car. Case of Forex in the back, please, sir. Thank you. Hey, let's go to Gary from Varsity Lakes. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the air, mate. What did you want to whinge about?
I want to whinge about the fact that it's my birthday and I've received more emails and texts from corporations than I have from friends.
Is that right? Fair dinkum. Yeah.
Yes.
Christmas is like that too, mate. You don't even get any Christmas cards anymore. I remember back in the day, mate, we'd have a piece of string across the kitchen and we'd line it up with Christmas cards. Nowadays, you get like these poxy emails that have got someone's signature that's been typed out rather than written. It's just so impersonal. Your mates didn't look after you, Gary, but the corporations did.
Yeah, exactly right, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
My car got flogged yesterday while I was doing the news. I was just... never had a car stolen before. I drive a Ford Ranger. And look, I've got to put my hand up right at the start here and say it's my own damn fault. I'm a bit too trustworthy at times. And I've come unstuck majorly because this is what happened to me yesterday. I'm down at the... I'm on Cavill Avenue at the Tiki End Village end of it. So down by the river, the western end of Cavill Avenue. And I do the weather down there for Nine Gold Coast News quite often. You know, easily I would have done it 20 times at this particular location. It's a beautiful spot. And I sit in the car and I prepare the weather. And then what I've done is I've got out of the car to go to where the camera is. Now, the cameraman is set up no more than 10 meters away from my car. And like I do this all the time, and I know it makes me dopey, and I know people are going to go, well, you got what you deserved, and you might be right. You probably are right. But I got out of the car, leaving the car running, as I do quite often. The car's in my line of sight. It's 10 meters to the left of me, and I'm doing the weather. Now, as I'm doing, just before I get on air with the weather, these group of boys came through, and they were cool guys. They were, you know, young kids. And as quite often happens, they gave me a little bit of cheek. They were like, hey, Lukey, let us do the weather for you. And I was like, yeah, come on, boys, you can come and do the weather. I'll have the night off. And that was about as far as the exchange with these guys went. Didn't think anything more of it. I went and did the weather. And as soon as I finished the weather, I'm taking off my earpiece. I have a little earpiece that the guys back in the studio can talk to me while I'm doing the weather in my ear. I'm taking that off. And I see my car is being reversed up. Now, I look at my car and it was kind of surreal. I actually started laughing because what I assumed had happened is one of my mates had come along and they were goofing around on me. They were playing a joke and one of my mates was reversing the car. Except what happened then was I actually heard the wheels going, and I could see that quite aggressively my car was being reversed down Cavill Avenue. And I knew that my car was being stolen. And what happened next was just pure instinct. I just ran towards the car and there was someone driving it and they were being so erratic that they actually crashed into a pole. And they crashed the car and I've run over to the driver's door to drag the guy out of the door. Just as I said, on instinct, I probably should have just let him go. But on instinct, I was going to beat the crap out of this guy, I'll be honest with you. That's what I was intending to do. And I'm banging on the window. I'm going, get out of my effing car. And he had just pranged it. And he chucked it in drive and zoomed straight past me. And I jumped out of the way. And it was at that moment that I realized this guy... behind the wheel, and it was only one person behind the wheel, I realized this person, it's way more important to this person to get away with my car than it is for him to have me live. I have no doubt this guy would have easily run me over had I have been in his way and not been able to get out of his line of sight. And I realized at this stage also, I'm yelling to my cameraman, Tony, who's a really great bloke. I'm going, film it, because I wanted to be able to catch this guy. But I had my phone with me. And so I flicked my camera on, my video, I started videoing, and this guy reversed up and at this stage has the most incredible run of luck. I mean, fair dinkum, the gods were on this bloke's side, because every time I've done the weather there, which I reckon, no joke, would be at least 20 times, when I go to get back onto the Gold Coast Highway from this part of Cavill Avenue, I usually have to wait at least 2 minutes for a break in the traffic. It's peak hour, mate, absolute peak hour. There's no traffic whatsoever. This guy reverses straight onto the highway. I'm running after him. I get up to the passenger door because I'm trying to get into the passenger door and I don't know what I was going to do. I was going to jump in the car with the guy and the door was locked. I had my video on my phone going and I got a video of him and his face. And the guy's so casual, mate. If you jump on my Instagram, I'm going to put it up on my Instagram straight after the news tonight. But it's pretty incredible vision. If you go to Luke Bradnam on Instagram, you'll see it. But you can see this guy. How's this? He's stealing a car and he's driving one-handed with one of his arms on the armrest. So casual, mate. It was like a Sunday drive. I couldn't believe it. And then the guy zoomed off up the road. pulls over about 200 metres up the road, and three other guys jump in the car, and it turned out it was the young guys, I believe, who I just interacted with prior to the weather, and he picks up these guys and they take off. I ring the cops, 000, the cops come. Mate, I cannot commend our police guys enough. They were so awesome. They immediately set into action trying to find the car. They were able, at 6:04, they spotted it on Queen Street in Southport. And get this one, I start realizing everything that was in the car. And, you know, all my laptops, all my work gear, I'd come straight from the radio show. It seemed like my whole life is inside that car. And then the realization of everything sort of starts crumbling on me. And I start having almost like, I'm like, God, these guys could have killed me. Or they could have killed someone else. Had anyone been behind the car when he was reversing up so aggressively? You'll see all of the vision tonight on Nine News. They're going to run it. And we've had the CCTV vision of it all as well. You can see just how brazen these blokes were. And anyway, the cops at 11:30 last night arrest three of the people that were in the car. They were in Surfers Paradise with my credit cards because my wallet was inside the car. And I assume going about trying to go spend my dough. But I'd already put a block on the credit cards and stuff like this. So they've ascertained three of them. They're in custody at the moment. I wish them no harm, mate. I actually feel really sorry for them. I found out and it shocked me that the dudes that allegedly took my car, these are their ages, 17, 15, and 14 years of age. Now, I've got a daughter who's 14 years of age. And I cannot even imagine her, but these guys were arrested at 11:30 last night. I can't imagine my little girl being out on the streets at 11:30 at night on a Tuesday night in Surfers Paradise, let alone being involved in a car theft situation. I just felt sad for them. I really do. I feel really sad for them. I actually want to... some of my mates were like, bet you'd love to meet them and beat them up. I'm like, no, I'd love to meet them and talk to them and try and help them and change their lives because they're headed for disaster. They're young guys who clearly have no guidance in their life, no positive role models. I can't imagine why their parents are letting them out at this time of the night and they're up to these sort of shenanigans. And I actually feel really genuinely sorry for them. Well, at the same time, coming to terms with the fact that I've lost some really valuable stuff, like my two Iron Man medals. I was in the process of getting these framed up. I'm incredibly proud of them because you don't buy these, you earn them. And I can never replace those. And anyway, they've found these three guys. They still haven't found the car or the fourth person. There's a 15-year-old at the moment that they know who it is, but they can't find out who he is. They can't find where he is. Anyway, that's the go. And I'm copping it online as well. The Gold Coast Bully have put it up on their website. It's up on the Gold Coast Bully website at the moment. And the comments are just like, you're a moron, mate. You got what you deserved. And I get it. I had my car running. But I've always enjoyed living in a place where I've assumed I could actually do that. What I'm learning is the Gold Coast isn't like that. People are losing their cars left, right, and centre. The amount of people that have reached out to me today saying, mate, the same thing has happened. And I want to open the phones up right now. 13 27 10. How prevalent is this? I'm oblivious to it, mate. Maybe I'm too trustworthy. I think I am. My camo, Hanrahan the cameraman, he's always been at me. Mate, don't leave your car going. And I'm like, nah, it's the Gold Coast, mate. Fine. You know, the Gold Coast, we got good people here. And we do, 99.999%. But there's that 0.01% of jobbers there that are so brazen and spreading misery around the place. So our number, 13 27 10. Anything like this ever happened to you? When have you had your car stolen while you've been doing the news on the TV? No. James from Elanora's just called through. I'm not on my own, James.
No, you're not on your own, mate. Okay, so I'm originally from Sydney, and I moved up here a few years ago. And the 2 days after I moved up here, with all my stuff still in my car, got stolen out the front of the driveway.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know if you're like me, James, but honestly, I'd rather, like, if I had a choice between getting what was inside the car versus the car itself, I'd take the valuables inside the car. Some of them I can't replace.
Oh, definitely. Like, I had so much stuff in the back of the car. Like, I had all my spearfishing gear in there, TVs, tables, stuff like that. And, yeah, it was, yeah.
I don't know. It's just dopey stuff for me. Like, you know, my Iron Man medals and also like this, I don't know, there's a bag that I've had my whole radio career. I've had this bag and it's dirty and dusty and it's weathered and it's 20-something years old, but I use it for every show. And I can get another bag, but it hasn't got the history. You know what I mean? And
I haven't got the personal value.
Yeah, it won't mean nothing to anyone else. Hey, sorry about that, James. Thanks for your call, though, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Take it easy.
Okay, let's go to Maddie from Benora Point. Go ahead, Maddie. You're on the air.
Joe, where you go, mate? Sorry to hear about your car.
That's all right.
I did a similar thing years ago. I'm a muso, and I left my keys in the car, and I was sort of taking my stuff out, pack it in the car, left my keys in it, and these couple of drunk blokes took it for a run and smashed it straight into the wall right in front of them.
Yeah, I think it's a lesson for everyone, even at the servo. Mate, I'm guilty even at the servo, just leaving my keys in the car. You can't do it. You can't do it. Hey, good on you, Matty. I appreciate the call, mate. Let's go to Amanda from Broadbeach. Go ahead, Amanda. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'd just like to say, with these people that are saying that, yeah, it's your fault, you deserved it, all that kind of thing, I think, yeah, partially, you shouldn't have left your car running and the door open and whatever. But you shouldn't have to worry about people stealing things, breaking into your car and things like that. And the kids these days, their parents may not have known where they were. But something needs to be done about it. It is very prevalent and it's definitely not your fault.
I definitely should have locked the car. But, I appreciate it, Amanda. Thanks very much. And it does amaze me, the people online that are giving it to me. I get it, mate. You don't think I'm aware that I've made a mistake. But take a good look at yourself and the fact that you guys seem to revel in other people's misfortune and what that says about you. Can't be a nice way to live your life. Cameron out of Burley Waters. Go ahead, mate. You're on the air.
Yeah, mate. I had a bad day, reversed into the gate anyway. I left the keys in the car and then went to bed that night. Woke up 4 in the morning because there was a storm. Walked downstairs, I got this glass door at the front. Looked out on the street, all this rubbish on the street. Walked out, hang on, where's my car gone? Someone stole the car.
No insurance. Oh, right. No, that's awful, mate. That's awful. There's a lesson here for the Gold Coast. We got to just assume the worst, hope for the best, because there is a part of our community out there that are running amok. The stories I've heard today have been an eye-opener for me, that's for sure.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Very proud of our next guest. He did radio proud over the last couple of months on SAS Australia. Merrick Watts joining us right now. G'day, mate. How are you?
Hello, mate. Great to speak to you, Luke. You been well?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. I'm really happy for you because I would have assumed if most Aussies had to sit down and go, all right, three hombres are going to get through and be selected for SAS out of the celebrities that took part, you wouldn't have probably been one of the favourites to get through. But you're bloody tough. You're a tough man, mate. And I hope, I'm saying this in all seriousness, Merrick. I hope you're proud of yourself, mate.
You know what? The thing is that you're right. Like, the odds are stacked against me. I'm 46 years of age, no professional sports background. And I roll up and I see the honey badger and I've just gone, hang on a second, where's Dawn Fraser? I could have sworn this was, where's Dawn? It was pretty intimidating at the start. But I think the people who know me really well, are just like, yeah, of course he's going to do that. Of course he's going to have a crack. And like, my wife never thought for a second that I wouldn't pass selection. She was always like, yeah, of course you will, because you're a nutbag and you'll kill yourself trying. So, it's one of those things. I might not have looked like I was overly confident, but I was never in any doubt in my own mind from the get-go that I would get to the end and then hopefully get selected.
Unreal, mate. It was awesome. And looking back at it, mate, it was like 2 weeks, but it seemed to drag out forever on the TV. What did you learn about yourself, Merrick, going through that whole process?
Oh, look, heaps. Number one is, you know, when you, Luke, when you hear the saying that you've got to dig deep and find the extra 10%, or, you know, and people carry on and go, oh, there's all, you know, you hit the wall and you've got to push through it, and all those kind of platitudes and cliches. And you just think, oh, yeah, I don't really know what that means. And this course definitely showed me what that was about, and I had an understanding of it. So for me, there was a real moment where I was trudging up the hill in the snow, and it was really tough. Like, it was very, it was, I think we all thought it was the hardest day. And I'd started dead last to push my way through to the top three, and my legs were burning. My lungs were heaving. I had two cracked ribs, and I was in just agony. And one of the DS came up to me and said, number 10, results, not excuses. And he said, drive, drive. He goes, you're in pain, push past it. And I just, whatever it was, my body was now in survival mode. It was burning, and it was telling me to stop. Just stop doing what you're doing, because you're gonna, this is bad for you. And my brain just consciously said to the body, I'm sorry, I hear what you're saying, but no, we're actually going to go up another gear. And I pushed it harder and pushed it harder, and I was able to take two more positions and then finish first.
Unreal.
And that was the clearest understanding I've ever had of the, you know, the term that people use, which is, you know, mind over matter, or you know, mind over your body.
Unreal, mate. And has anyone from the actual SAS, I know that you rub shoulders with these dudes that were actually on the show, but has any SAS members actually reached out to you in any way since filming wrapped up?
Yeah, heaps.
Really?
I've got lots of mates who have served in the SAS and in the Commandos as well. And I've had friendships, deep friendships with those guys for, like, literally decades, some of these guys. But and I think a lot of them actually thought that I would pass selection just based on how they know me and my personality type. And that's a big part of it. It's just whether or not your personality type is the right type. It's not that you're good or bad or strong or weak. It's actually just about whether or not your personality type fits. But a lot of former serving special forces operators have reached out and said, you know, congratulations. It's good, you know, well done. But also, at the same time, they give me a slap and go, you also know that that is not even like 1% of the real course.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, okay, look. Yeah, nah, it's like really comparative to what real soldiers go through. It's just the tip of the iceberg. But, you know, a good window into their world, no doubt.
Unreal, mate. And you know what I find fascinating is that what you've touched on there as to what you learnt is that you're just mentally tougher than what you could have ever imagined, and that if you just say, no, I'm not going to stop, and you just keep going, that you eventually get there. But it was revealed throughout the course of SAS that you have battled a few mental demons in your time as well. Do you think that from what you went through, just knowing how mentally tough you obviously are, that that's going to actually serve you well in other aspects of your life now?
Oh, Luke, 100%, mate. I can't tell you how much, because, you know, what happened is from the start of last year, I'd had just a few knocks, and, you know, I had some stuff, you know, work things. I had three things in a row that, just not through anybody's fault or anything like that, not my own or anybody else, they just fell over. And that's just the nature of show business. I was like, geez, I really can't take a trick.
Yep.
And at the end of last year, I was starting to think, well, hang on a second, maybe that's me. And I started, I'm a confidence player. If I'm confident, I will play the best game. If I'm not confident, it can just eat me away. Like with footy, you see some players, when they're confident, they fly. When they're not, they just disappear. And that's kind of what happened to me towards the end of last year. And then this came along, and I thought, well, what I'm feeling is anxiety, and I don't have depression. I've never said that I've had depression, but I was feeling depressed at the time, and it's because I'd lost my confidence, and my confidence is my identity. So when this came along, I was like, that will fix this, because that is me. I love pressure. I love pressure environments. I love going and testing myself, and I love proving people wrong and proving myself right. And I had every belief that I would get through it, given the opportunity. So, yeah, mate, I can't tell you, Luke, it's been just a 360 turnaround. My confidence is awesome. But the great thing about this is it teaches you to have confidence with humility, you know, and that's probably something that I lacked earlier in my career. I had all the confidence, but I probably wasn't humble enough at the right times.
Unreal, mate. I'm really happy for you, Merrick, and I really enjoyed the chat too, mate. I reckon hopefully people get something out of it who are going through similar things. And, mate, honestly, you're a talent, And, you know, radio's just got that way of knocking you around after a while, and none of us get through it unscathed. And so we all cop it at some time.
Sometimes you can be on air, you can be doing your job, and then all of a sudden, somebody flogs your car and goes for a joyride in your car, and you go, hey, I'm thinking, how can I call myself a drive presenter if I don't even have a car? You know, like, if anything, what you're doing now, Luke, is false advertising for your listeners. You're saying, I'm your drive time host, and yet you don't have a car.
I'm doing the walk show at the moment, Merrick, is what I'm doing. Bloody hell, mate. You don't miss a beat. I thought you were busy doing radio interviews, mate. No time to check the websites. Mate, unbelievable.
I thought that was great.
Unbelievable.
You haven't lived life until teenagers have flogged your car.
And you know what? You can't even give these kids a flogging that stole my car. One of them's 14 years of age. I can't believe it. I got dusted up by a 14-year-old. Mate, at least you got beaten up by SAS guys. Tough hombres. Mine's a 14-year-old.
Do you charge them or do you give them encouragement or what?
No,
I mean, it's like
they're in danger of getting grounded, Merrick. That's as bad as it gets. I'm really proud of you, mate, and enjoyed the chat, the Savo. All the very best, Merrick.
Yeah. Great to catch up, Luke. Good on you, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Big night for the Australian music industry tonight. It's the ARIA Awards, and a little bit different in these COVID times, but we're excited because a great friend of the show, a great Gold Coaster, Casey Barnes, is nominated for at least one award, and he's joining us right now. G'day, mate. How are you?
G'day, mate.
Hey, so what are you up for tonight, mate?
Oh, mate, I'm up for Best Country Album of the Year.
Unreal. Yeah. So talk to us about how it's going to happen, because it's all online, right?
It is. There's a bit of everything happening. Some stuff's actually happening that's been pre-filmed, like some of the performances that you'll see on telly tonight, and then a lot of it'll be virtually. I know they're going to cross to me for the awards virtually, and then it'll be all on Channel 9 tonight. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shapes out, but they've done a great job putting it together.
Mate, does it all hinge on everyone's internet connection?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Imagine someone comes and pulls the cable on me, bang, and she's all over.
So, mate, usually these nights are pretty wild nights, the ARIA Awards. Not that I've been, but I've heard, and I know what the radio awards are like, and I'm assuming the music awards are very similar. Everyone gets on it and gets dressed up and that sort of stuff. So are you just at home, and will you be tackling tonight as per a usual ARIAs? In other words, will you be having a few?
Oh, we'll definitely have a few, mate, no matter what the result. I think I've got my family and a couple of mates coming over, and, whatever the result, I think, after a year like we've had this year with everything that's happened, I think just to be nominated, everyone should be proud. So we'll have a couple, mate, and celebrate regardless of whatever the outcome.
And so you say, and that's true, to be nominated, mate, is unreal. According to the bookies, your second favourite tonight to win. And I really genuinely do hope you win. If you do win, do you have to make a speech?
You do, mate.
Okay.
You do.
Here's my question for you. Have you written a speech?
Have you? Well, I've written down a couple of dot points, let's put it that way, just to be on the safe side, so I don't, make an absolute knob of myself and forget somebody. But I think we only literally, they've warned us, you get 30 seconds and then you get the wind-up music after that. So, yeah, so it won't be anything too elaborate.
I hope you win, because honestly, I've never written an acceptance speech, mainly because I rarely get nominated for anything. But it's got to be denting to your confidence, that moment where you chuck your acceptance speech in the bin after not reading it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I think I was telling you maybe last week, there's a girl who's a really good friend of mine, and she's been nominated multiple times for a Golden Guitar, and she wrote a speech every single year. And then the one year that she went, I'm not even going to worry about it this year, and then she won. So she won the year that she was totally unprepared. Just never know.
So you're not performing, but you will be on camera at some stage should you win.
I think so, mate. Yeah, I think so.
That's a good sign, Casey, mate. That the fact that they've gone, and do you not sit back? Because this is the way my mind would work. I'd go, gee, they're including me in the production here. This has got to mean that I'm winning. That's what my mind would be sort of tending to believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with these things, if you read into it too much, you could do your own head in. It's hard, you know. You just don't know, mate. You don't know. It's all very... Yeah, I don't know. I won't say too much, but it's in the lap of the gods, you know. That's all
okay.
I'll say.
If you don't win, all right, will you put on a fake smile and pretend you're happy for the winner, or will you go, this is bullshit, and kick the kitchen table over?
The boys in my band have already dared me to do that. They've already dared me to do like a huge dummy spit and like start saying the F word and this is bullshit. And no, I don't know. I could get in trouble. Chad, you would be happy.
All right, mate. Well, regardless, mate, it is a massive honour to get nominated. It's been quite a 2020 for you, mate. And we wish you all the very best. Sincerely, mate, I hope you win.
Thanks, my friend. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
If you haven't heard the news, yesterday, as I was doing the weather for Channel 9, my car got stolen. The police have been unbelievable. I really want to commend the police. They've been so fantastic. I mean, my own fault, I've got to say, 100% responsibility. I did the weather and left the car running. The car was not only unlocked, it was running at the time while I did the weather. I do it all the time. It was just 10 metres to the left of me as I was doing the weather. And a guy jumped in my car and stole it. And I had a bit of an interaction with the dude, but he got away. And at the moment, my car still hasn't been found. But Senior Sergeant Braden Murphy joining us right now. One of our finest men in blue. G'day, mate. How are you?
Geez, it's a bit early for Tool of the Week, though, isn't it, Luke?
You're the Tool of the Week.
Oh, what a moron. I left the car running. Can you believe that? What an idiot.
All I can assume is that it's an automatic.
It is an automatic, yeah.
Because they can't drive manuals, mate, these kids. So
yeah, I mean...
So there's an anti-theft device for you in the future. Get a manual.
Is that right? Yeah, well, I was amazed, mate, because I had an interaction with these kids prior to them jumping in my car. And they came up to me just before I did my weather. They were cheeky, don't get me wrong, but they were friendly. They were like, Lukey, let us do the weather. And I'm like, yeah, boys, you can do the weather. I'll have the night off. And that was about it. And I'll be honest with you, they looked like riffraff, but I liked their swagger. And I just picked them as sort of cheeky kids, and I really didn't think too much of it. But I got to say, mate, when I finish the weather, I'm taking off my earpiece. I see my car getting reversed, and I assume that it is. I assumed it was a mate just goofing around with me. But the way that it was being driven so aggressively, this guy reversed up. I noticed. I go, holy geez, my car is being stolen right in front of me. And the guy crashed it into a pole. I raced over to try and drag him out of the car, but he'd already locked the car. And he almost ran me over, Braden, because he chucked it into forward and zoomed off and picked up his mates that were around the corner. So they dead set hatched a plan. And then you guys caught him. I cannot commend the police enough. At 11:30 last night, so that was at 6 o'clock at night, 11:30 last night, they were back in Surfers Paradise with my credit cards because my wallet was in the car. And I'm assuming they were going out to spend some of my dough. But mate, the ages...
Well, I think that's where we caught him, Luke, because they tried to use your credit card and there's nothing on it, so...
Yeah, we'd blocked it.
he's already maxed out, apparently.
I'd already spent it at TAB Sportsbet.
Apparently there was a subscription to OnlyFans or something that put it over.
Anyway, mate, but the ages of the kids that you've been able to... So there's three in custody right now, 17, 15 and 14. Here's my question. Is this out of the ordinary? I'm stunned. I've got a 14-year-old daughter. I can't imagine her being out on the town at 11:30 at night, let alone being involved with a car theft.
Mate, the problem is that I've also got a 17-year-old son who's on his L plates, and half these 13-year-old kids have got more driving hours than he's got at the moment.
Wow.
So, mate, it's unfortunately the lay of the land at the moment. We have, you know, as young as 12 pinching cars and, you know, driving around at breakneck speeds and, you know, really putting everybody in danger. And yeah, people turn around and go, oh, they're just kids having fun. Well, you know, these kids could kill people. So, and as you saw last night, mate, they got no hesitation of,
no.
you know, getting away and ramming people and running people over and all that sort of stuff.
I mean, I have no doubt whatsoever that I saw this guy, I saw this kid. I reckon he was the 17-year-old, and I knew it was more important for him to get away than me living. And it was scary. And that's when I went, wow, you guys do this every day. You guys, like, for me, that was a different day for me. It was a different experience for me where I went, holy geez, in reflection, not to over dramatize, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a serious injury to me or someone else. He reversed up so quickly onto the Gold Coast Highway. If anyone was behind him, someone could have got seriously injured. You guys put yourself in that position every day.
That's it, Luke. And that's what we try and say to people, like, you know, and sometimes you just react, which is what you did last night. But, you know, at the end of the day, mate, it's a motor car. You know, there's a good chance we'll get them and get your car back. You know, it might be a different colour with different wheels and... But, you know, might be some fluffy dice replaced. But
I already had them.
Oh, I think they might have got some new ones, mate, because I think they're getting pretty old. That's one of yours. But that's it, mate. Like I said, you know, it's everyday occurrence for us, unfortunately, on the Gold Coast and really southeast Queensland, you know, with these young people stealing cars. And, mate, the solution is what, you know?
Lock your car.
Don't leave the keys in it.
What an idiot. I mean, I guess you don't have too many people as moronic as me that actually leave the keys in their car while the car's running. That's just dopey.
Look, it probably was, like I said, maybe tool of the month. I think that might even get you, actually. So,
all right.
But, mate, you live and you learn, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll learn to lock your car next time. And
yeah, absolutely.
And you won't see it blown away in a big gale.
Hey, I want to say this in all sincerity. Mitch came out from, he's a water policeman, a senior sergeant, I believe, from the water police.
Yeah, he is, yep.
Could not have been a better bloke. I just so full of, of commendation for what you guys did last night and do on a daily basis, but I got to see it firsthand. And thank you. Thank you to you, and thank you to everyone in blue, because you guys have been absolutely fantastic, and I really appreciate it.
No worries, mate. And I'm working tonight, so I'll get your car.
Good on you. Hope you do. Hope you do. And thank you very much. There he goes, Senior Sergeant Braden Murphy. And there you go. He's crowned me Tool of the Month. It's hard to argue with
you're the Tool of the Week.
Month. That is it for us, right? We are racking off out of here now. Thank you so much for your company today. We really appreciate it. This time, exactly this time yesterday, I was racing down the Gold Coast Highway, chasing one person in my car. I haven't seen my car now for 24 hours, and I hope that they return it. I very much want my Iron Man medals back that are in the glove box. You can have everything else, you jobbers. Have everything else in the car. Give me back my Iron Man medals. You can't buy them. You have to earn them. I hope in your lifetime you actually do something like that and earn something as like those medals, because that would mean you've probably turned your life around somewhat from where you are at the moment. But thank you so much for your company. We appreciate it. Be back tomorrow afternoon for your local drive home from 4. Copy you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.